Hey there, this is producer Tim from The Spirit World. I just want to share a quick note about today's show. In this conversation with Debbie Giorgiani, Adam Bly, and Father Chris Alar, you are going to hear several references to the canonization of Blessed Carlo Acutis. This was recorded before Pope Francis died and the canonization was postponed. As you listen today, say a quick prayer for the repose of the soul of the Holy Father.
Welcome to the Spirit World, answering your questions on angels, demons, and how the spiritual and physical worlds interact. And now your hosts, Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly.
Well, hello there, and welcome to the Spirit World. I am Debbie Giorgiani with religious demonologist and co-host Adam Bly, and we're going to ask you to sit back and listen and learn today because we have a very special guest with us. Oh, yes, we all know him, love him, trust him. We listen to all his teachings. He is amazing, and to have him with us, Adam, the day before Divine Mercy Sunday, oh, we are so blessed. This is such a great treat for all of us as Spirit World listeners and followers. But Adam, we always begin with the St. Michael prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So Adam, let's dive right in, because we all want to know how to get the plenary indulgences or partial indulgences for Divine Mercy Sunday, and we're bringing on one of the best and expert in this area, Father Chris Alar. Please, Adam, properly introduce him.
Father Chris Alar, M.I.C., is the Provincial Superior of the Marian Fathers Province in the United States and Argentina. He wrote and produced the popular Divine Mercy 101 and Explaining the Faith YouTube series. And he is the author of the best-selling books, After Suicide, There's Hope for Them and You, as well as Understanding Divine Mercy. He hosts the EWTN show Living Divine Mercy, which airs on Thursdays, 10 p.m. Eastern. From 2014 to 2024, he served as Father Joseph M.I.C., the director of the Association of Marian Helpers. You can watch Father Chris's talks and programs on DivineMercyPlus.org. Wow, I'm really excited to have Father here. I'm excited to empower people about Divine Mercy Sunday. I had the gift of going on pilgrimage a few years back to the Divine Mercy Shrine and had one of the most moving confessions I've ever experienced. The priest there was just awesome. It was blessed. So, Father, thank you for coming. Yes. I'm really happy that you're here, and I hope that God graces us and the listeners with benefits of this.
No, thank you. It's an honor to be here as well with the work you guys do to help spread the message of God's mercy, especially this time of year on this special day. You can't get anything more important. There is nothing more important because it ties to the sacraments, it ties to the Mass. And this is a gift from God like no other.
So, Father Chris, let me ask you a question. Do you go by Father Chris or Father Alar? What do you prefer?
Father Chris is fine. Thank you.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I mean, I knew that, but I just want to make sure that everybody gets to, because we are all going to meet in, we're going to be together July 19th for the 25th anniversary of Guadalupe Radio Network. So you're going to be with all 2,000 friends. That's going to be amazing. And I can't wait, in Plano, Texas. And it's a free event, and everybody can register for that at grnonline.com. But Father Chris, how many people show up during Divine Mercy Weekend in Stockbridge? I mean, I heard it's like tens of thousands.
Yeah, we'll have over 25,000 here. But what's more impressive is the millions that are reached via EWTN and our own network and streaming platform that we have at the Marian Fathers, which has been since COVID one of the best blessings the Lord has given us. We're meeting new people. We're learning many things about people's understanding of divine mercy, so we can help them to receive these graces and these promises and better understand them, so they know what they're receiving and how to receive it. And so that's why we're here tonight, and that's why that's a great, a beautiful example for what we should be doing to help our brothers.
Mm-hmm. So what do we need to know about Divine Mercy Weekend, the plenary indulgences, partial indulgences? I've heard so many things that there's things you have to do. You have to do them in a certain way to achieve things that can help us for all of eternity. Father, really, really impart to us what we need to know, because that's really what our spirit world listeners want. They're probably tuned in going, okay, how do I obtain as many graces and mercy as possible from God?
Yeah. The best thing to do is to go back to what Jesus said directly about divine mercy. Jesus told St. Faustina, which, by the way, is fully approved by the church. John Paul wasn't even the one that approved it. It was approved before him. And then he initiated the canonization, brought us the canonization of St. Faustina and the institution of the Feast of Divine Mercy. However, this is something that is so powerful that Jesus said that divine mercy is mankind's last hope of salvation. And John Paul went on to say, there's nothing the world needs more than divine mercy. And Jesus said, if you don't pass through the doors of my mercy, you must pass through the doors of my justice. And this is very important because we don't even know this grace is available, so many of us. And you mentioned the plenary indulgences. What makes this day very unique is, yes, there is a plenary indulgence available that we can talk about. There's also any partial indulgence, like making the sign of the cross is a partial indulgence. But the biggest thing that's offered on this day is something called the extraordinary promise. It's something that's actually greater than a plenary indulgence. And people are like, whoa, how is that possible? Okay. A plenary indulgence, as taught by the church, is when we do a particular act that the church defines as a plenary indulgence, the act, as long as we have the conditions that are presented by the church, such as going to confession within 20 days, used to be 8, but it changed to 20 days before or after. If you're in a state of grace, you can go up to 20 days after. Or if you're not in a state of grace, you need to go before you do this indulgence act, which on Divine Mercy Sunday, there's a plenary indulgence offered. You also have to receive Holy Communion on that day, and you also have to do the intentions for the Holy Father. Usually it's an Our Father, Hail Mary, and a Glory Be. And then you have to do the hard part, which is no attachment to sin, even venial. And now good luck with that one, because most of us have some attachment to sin. Mine is gluttony, and that doesn't even have to do with food, but gluttony sometimes for news apps or sporting events. I still struggle with that. And my other one is impatience, because after I tell somebody something 3 times, I really lose my good sense of being patient. So I say to God, I'm still attached to some of these faults. So in essence, if you don't get the full plenary indulgence, you get a partial indulgence. Now, what is it? A plenary indulgence is the remission of the temporal punishment due to sin that has been confessed, that has been forgiven, okay? Now, what that means is when you go into the confessional and you receive forgiveness of sins, you are forgiven of the eternal punishment due to sin, aka hell. But the odds are, unless you have perfect contrition, unless you are absolutely full of perfect contrition, odds are some temporal punishment is going to remain on your soul. That temporal punishment is so severe that it may be the reason most of us will be in purgatory until the end of time. And you don't want that. Some say the sufferings of purgatory are worse than hell, because You can sense your beloved. You want your beloved, God himself, Jesus himself, but you can't. You're separated. And that suffering is agonizing. And so that's the temporal punishment. Now, it's not, I don't like the word punishment. I think of the words loving discipline, if you will. And that is a beautiful gift in this plenary indulgence that we can wipe away that. However, there's something greater. And it's called the Extraordinary Promise of Divine Mercy Sunday, which is greater than a plenary indulgence because it doesn't have the same conditions. The only thing you have to do is something Jesus told St. Faustina in the diary that she published, that we Marian Fathers publish. And it's easy. It's not that difficult. And we all can get it. So I guess we're getting ready for a break. But after that, I'll be happy to explain it to you. Oh,
leaving us in suspense. And I know Adam's got a lot of questions to ask. So when we come back from this very short break, our wonderful guest, Father Chris Alar, is with us. And can you believe it, folks? We are in Divine Mercy Weekend. Tomorrow is Divine Mercy Sunday. And wow, and to have Father Chris Alar with us on the Spirit World, oh, what is such a gift, such a treat for all of our Spirit World listeners. So stay tuned in. And as a matter of fact, like us on Facebook, join the family there at the Spirit World Podcast, or you can always email us if you have a question about today's broadcast, tsw@grnonline.com. Please stay with us, stay tuned in, and we'll be right back.
Hey there, this is producer Tim from the Spirit World. I just want to share a quick note about today's show. In this conversation with Debbie Giorgiani, Adam Bly, and Father Chris Alar, you're hearing several references to the canonization of Blessed Carlo Acutis. This was recorded before Pope Francis died and the canonization was postponed. As you listen today, please say a quick prayer for the repose of the soul of the Holy Father.
Have you ever heard someone say that the church needs to keep up with the times? G.K. Chesterton says that all this talk about keeping up with the times has been uttered hundreds of times before. To be up to date, he says, is a paltry ambition, except in an almanac. The church certainly does not need to imitate the secular world. In fact, what does the word secular mean? It does not mean worldly. It does not even mean irreligious. To be secular simply means to be of the age. That is, of the age which is passing. And in the case of anyone trying to keep up with the times, the age that has already passed. So what the word secular really means is dated. The church's truth is never out of date because it's eternal.
Spend more time with the Apostle of Common Sense. Visit Chesterton.org for more information.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. We're not taking live phone calls today. Please email your questions to tsw@grnonline.com.
It's very rare we have guests on the Spirit World, and when we do, we like to turn our attention, so that's why we don't have any calls today. So this is a pre-recorded new content broadcast put together by our senior producer, Tim Mott. So thank you so much, Tim. But Adam and I, we are waving to everybody on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, Rumble, and TikTok. And our very special guest is the one, the only, Father Chris Alar. And we just absolutely love him. We love how he really forms us in the faith. And Adam, I know you've got some questions you want to ask Father Chris.
So Father, I don't want to take a lot of time away because I know you want to get to that special, and I want to hear it too, get to that promise. A couple things for those that are hearing about Divine Mercy for the first time today, and people that may not know the story of St. Faustina and the visions that she had of Jesus coming and speaking with her and other figures from from heaven speaking with her. So when a saint, when a person has revelations, like you use the language Jesus said to her, and there's some people out there saying like, well, wait a second, what do you mean Jesus said to her? You know, are you talking about the Bible? Just to be clear, when a person has, you know, an approved apparition, meaning the church has studied it and said, we don't see any problem here, that is considered private revelation, right? And we're not required to believe it. But when the church says there's no problem with it and then goes beyond that and links a universal plenary indulgence to something, the church is giving kind of the biggest stamp of approval that I'm aware of. Maybe there's others that you know, Father. But the plenary indulgence we have absolute confidence in because it comes from the storehouse of graces of the church that the church has decided to link to these things. So don't feel like, oh, well, if I don't know everything that, you know, Jesus said to her, or maybe I don't understand all of it, you know, is this indulgence real for me? Can you just help us super briefly to have that confidence?
Yeah, I think the most important thing to recognize here is divine mercy is unique in the sense that it's not just a devotion. It's both a message and a devotion. The only thing similar to it is the Sacred Heart. And for the ultra-traditionalists, they confuse this because they claim that divine mercy is trying to replace the Sacred Heart. No, the divine mercy completes and fulfills the Sacred Heart. Because of Jansenism, God had to bring back through St. Margaret Mary Alacoque the understanding that I am love and come to me. He told St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, tell the world, come to me. I am love. And because of Jansenism, they still weren't. And so in divine mercy, we have God who is love coming to us. And you see that in the left foot of each image of divine mercy, God is coming to us. It's the only devotion that's not our devotion. It's not just our devotion to God. It's about God's devotion to us. And that devotion that we know through the channels of grace that God gave to St. Faustina, that Jesus did, the Feast of Divine Mercy, the Image of Divine Mercy, the Novena of Divine Mercy, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, and the hour, 3 o'clock of Divine Mercy, are beautiful. But Adam, you are exactly right. You do not technically have to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy in order to get to heaven according to the church. That we understand. But divine mercy is unique in that it is the message that is mandatory. Pope Benedict XVI said that divine mercy is the nucleus of the gospel. He said it is not some secondary Christian devotion, but the very heart and life of Christian life and prayer. And therefore, the message of divine mercy that we commonly refer to as the ABCs, simply known as A, ask for God's mercy, B, be merciful to each other, and C, completely trust in God's mercy, because Jesus, you know, makes it clear that we must trust. If we don't do those three things, we're not making it to heaven. That is scriptural. Ask for God's mercy, the Bible says, if we do not repent and ask for forgiveness, we can't enter the kingdom of God. Be merciful to each other. Matthew 25, the parable of the sheep and the goats, and so many others. What you do to the least of my brethren, you've done to me. And for those who didn't, away into the eternal fire. That's not optional. And then finally, C, the big one, completely trusting God's mercy, is the same thing that is the basis of the whole Bible and the Diary of St. Faustina. If we do not trust in our Lord, we cannot receive these graces. And so this is the message of divine mercy, which is mandatory. In fact, even when John Paul instituted the Feast of Divine Mercy, if you look in the Missal, on the second Sunday of Easter, it says the second Sunday of Easter or Divine Mercy Sunday. People think that that means it's or, in the sense of, you know, an apple or an orange. I can choose to celebrate it or not. Or is an equivocal term. And its actual Latin translation, more properly, is Seau, which in the Latin means the second Sunday of Easter, namely Divine Mercy Sunday, or the second Sunday of Easter that is Divine Mercy Sunday. And so it was never the intent of John Paul for this to be optional. This is to be something celebrated. And when the church embrace this, once the translations were corrected that were holding her writings from being fully disseminated back in the from 1959 to 1978, that has all been clarified. And now the church is fully promoting this. And while the devotion is technically optional, the message of divine mercy is not. It's the heart and nucleus of the gospel, as Pope Benedict told us.
Thank you, Father. That really helps. And that's very clear. Okay. I'm waiting for, tell me what this, because I don't know this piece, so I'm excited. What's going on here?
Okay. The beautiful thing about Divine Mercy Sunday, which, as we just said, is the Sunday after Easter. First of all, we have to understand why that is important. That is important because the Sunday after Easter completes what's called an octave. An octave is a tradition that comes from the Jews that when a feast was so big, they could not celebrate it in one day. They would celebrate it over 8 days. Okay, that was the Jewish tradition of celebrating an octave. We Christians and Catholics have kept that tradition. And so Jesus specifically said, I want this feast to be on the Sunday after Easter. Why? Well, it completes an octave. Because the Easter octave, day one, is Easter Sunday. Then you have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Divine Mercy Sunday, the eighth day. Why is this important? Because the perfect number to the Jews, and everybody will say, is seven. Yes, that applies to time or creation. Jesus or God created in 6 days, rested on the seventh. That's the perfect number regarding creation or time. But the perfect number to the Jews is eight, that represents eternity. So we, on our eighth day, is when we pass on, when we pass out of this world, when we enter into eternity. And so on this eighth day, the church has always taught that God, Jesus is the groom, we are the bride, the church. Who is the church? We are, that the groom comes for his bride. Now, what does a groom want to find his bride to be? Every Jewish groom, every Jewish man wanted his bride to be spotless, to be absolutely without stain. That's the tradition of the white wedding gown of the bride. She's spotless. She's completely without stain. Now, when Jesus comes for all of us on the eighth day, our entering into eternity, the odds are is he's not going to find all of us too spotless, okay? And so heaven says nothing with any stain will enter heaven, or the Bible says nothing with any stain will enter heaven. So how do we clean up those stains? There's two stains on our soul that almost everybody will have when we die and we need to clean up, okay? One is sin, which you can clean up in this world through confession. So you go to confession, you receive the cleanup, you're forgiven of your sin. That's beautiful. But most likely, again, as we said earlier, unless you have perfect contrition, there's going to be some remaining temporal punishment due to that sin. I like to think of it as loving discipline, but it's consequence of your sin. For instance, the father who tells the boy not to play baseball in the yard, the dad goes to work, boy's friends come over, they play baseball in the yard, they break the window, even though dad told him not to. The dad comes home, he forgives the boy, and he says, you're forgiven, son, but it's not over yet. The boy is grounded for 2 weeks, and he has to pay for it out of his allowance. Why? Because there is consequences to our sin, and a loving father will never let us out of those consequences. So after we die, we have to be cleansed of our sin while on this earth. But then after we die, we have the remaining temporal punishment due to sins. And how do we get rid of that? And what is the promise of Jesus? I apologize. We're going to have to wait till the next segment to finally explain that.
Oh, Father Chris Aylar, you are keeping our audience in suspense. I love it. This is amazing. I think it's great for the Spirit World listeners and supporters. You guys are awesome, and you're sticking with us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, Rumble, and TikTok. And also, you're growing the family at Facebook at the Spirit World Podcast. Adam and I are so thrilled that you have tuned in on this wonderful day before Divine Mercy Sunday. We have a very special guest the entire hour, Father Chris Aylar. So you definitely want to stay tuned in, and then do us a favor, share this broadcast with a couple friends. We believe that's a good use of social media, and we'll be right back.
This is a Messy Family Minute with Mike and Alicia Hernan. When you become a parent, you start to realize all the new and scary ways in which you can mess up. So that's one reason we parents need the virtue of courage.
It takes courage to not be afraid of the future, to trust that God is with you through the ups and the downs, and that He is with you in this present moment. Choosing to not avoid the hard parts of parenting, like confronting your teen on difficult issues, or being vulnerable with your spouse, or holding the line with your children when the rest of the world is caving. All of this takes courage.
C.S. Lewis memorably said, "Courage is not simply one of the virtues, but the form of every virtue at its testing point." We need this kind of strength in our marriage and family life. The Lord says to us in Deuteronomy, "Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is the one who is going with you. He will not desert you or abandon you." Our Lord is with us, so take courage.
For more inspiration and encouragement for your family, visit us at messyfamilyminute.org.
Want some more joy in your life? Need some more peace in your day? Want to wake up each morning excited about life in a whole new way? Life coaching may be just what you need. We have a team of dedicated coaches willing to assist you in creating a plan for a better future with God as the focus. Jesus said, "I came for you to have life and have it to the full." So begin today with that abundant life. Visit us at standtalltoday.com.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. We're not taking live phone calls today. Please email your questions to tsw@grnonline.com.
Our guest today for this pre-recorded broadcast is Father Chris Aylar of the Marian Fathers. And Adam, I wanted to toss it back to you just to make sure if you had any comments before Father. By the way, we don't have any more breaks. So we're going to finish the broadcast with Father Chris Aylar, and then he'll give us a blessing to go into Divine Mercy Sunday, which will be fabulous. But Adam, I wanted to toss it to you to see if you had any comments.
No, my only comment, Father, is that now I'm on the edge of my seat. because as I said, I had the gift of going over there for the Divine Mercy Sunday to Poland a few years ago, and I didn't even learn about this additional piece during that trip. So that's exciting. So what's going on? How does it work?
Well, thank you to you two for seeing the importance of spreading the message of this grace, and to all the listeners, especially for wanting to receive this grace, because that's the most important thing. We have to want this grace. So here's the whole crux of the matter. As I said in the last segment, that to the Jews, the 8 was the perfect number, and it represented eternity. And all of us, symbolically, when we die, it's our 8th day, because we lived our 7 days of creation, and on the 8th day, we enter into eternity. As we mentioned before the last break, we know that Christ has always been presented in Scripture as the groom, the bridegroom. He says, do the wedding guests fast when the bridegroom is away from them, or were the bridegrooms with them? No, he doesn't. but when he's away from them, then they will fast. Christ is always referred to himself. The Bible refers to him as the bridegroom. Who is the bride? It's us, the church. And who makes up the church? We do. So when we die, when we pass into eternity, it is the time that we are going to meet our groom. Now, our groom has come for us, and this is why on the first day of the octave, Easter Sunday, Jesus resurrected and opened the door to heaven, okay? So you have this first day of the Easter octave symbolic, not symbolic, in actuality, Christ opened the door to heaven on this day. Now, the next 7 days are symbolic of our pilgrimage. Adam, you just mentioned about taking a pilgrimage to Poland. The next 7 days are symbolic of our pilgrimage on earth called life. So what we're doing is we're like the Jews. We're searching for the promised land. We're on our pilgrimage here in life looking for the promised land, which is heaven. Then in the eighth day, that pilgrimage is over. You know, when you went on your pilgrimage, you had to return. There came an end to that pilgrimage. Our pilgrimage in life ends on the eighth day, and we enter into eternity. Now, at that point, the groom is coming for us and wants us to be united with him forever for all eternity. The problem is, what's he going to find? Is he going to find a spotless, pure bride that he can take right to the wedding feast of the Lamb, which is heaven? Or is he going to find us with some work yet to be done? And so we mentioned in the last segment that we got to get to confession, because that clears up the first stain on our wedding garment. What is our wedding garment? Our soul. So the confession cleans the first stain on our soul, which is sin. You have to do that in this life. Now you can also wipe out the second stain on your soul in this life, called the temporal punishment due to sin. There's a few ways you can wipe that second stain away. And if you do, you are ready to go straight to heaven with the Lord, your groom, to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Now, that temporal punishment due to sin are the effects, the consequences of our sins. So for instance, I always use the example of the board. If you have a board in your hand and you drive a nail into it, all right, you got a nail now with a board now with a nail in it. That nail is like our sin. We drive it into the world. Now, confession pulls out that nail. That sin has been removed. It's been forgiven in the confessional. But what's left in the board?
A wound.
A hole. Yep, a wound, a hole, a gap. It needs to be repaired. What do you do? That's what the church teaches. We need to make atonement. Christ did everything on the cross for the forgiveness of sin and the opening to the doors of heaven. Now, we on the next 7 days have to find our way to that door through virtue, through love, through loving God, loving our neighbor. That is how we get through the pilgrimage of life. So on the eighth day, we're ready. Now, if some of us have stumbled along the way, we are not ready. So when Christ comes for us on the eighth day, if he finds a hole in that board, it's got to be fixed. Now, there's a couple ways you can fill the hole in that board. In this life, redemptive suffering, like John Paul with his Parkinson's, or Mother Teresa with her dark night of the soul. But man, that is hard. That is hard, and not all of us will go through that. That's one way. Another way is prayer, fasting, and almsgiving with perfect love. Absolutely no attachment to yourself, just absolutely perfect love that you can purify of all your temporal punishment. And I say, good luck with that one. It's not easy. It's very difficult. There's another way, a plenary indulgence that we just talked about. If you do the indulgence act, like praying the rosary inside a church, chapel, or oratory, or with another person, walking stations of the cross, praying 30 minutes, the scriptures, adoration for 30 minutes. These are all plenary indulgences. There's one on Divine Mercy Sunday for venerating the image, okay, for instance. But with that comes four conditions. You got to get to confession. You got to receive Holy Communion. You got to pray for the intentions of the Holy Father. So far, so good. Not a problem. But it's the last condition that sinks most all of us. No attachment to sin, even venial. And as I said in the first segment, good luck with that one, okay? One of the times it was revealed to St. Philip Neri that of 1,200 people in the cathedral, only two were going to get the plenary indulgence because they all had some form of attachment to sin. So what do? Unless you have absolute perfect love, which is not easy, unless you do a plenary indulgence and have no attachment to sin, which isn't easy, Christ is going to find a second stain on your soul when he comes for you. And that's the temporal punishment. He's going to be saddened because you're not ready for heaven. You'll have to go to purgatory for some of the most intense punishment that this earth has never seen. It's something that will be required for our soul to be prepared. Remember, purgatory is not for the forgiveness of sins. That's forgiven in the confessional. And although it can forgive venial sins, the confessional is the only place to forgive mortal sin. But it's for detachment. It's for preparation to meet God. That's what purgatory is for. It's detachment of current things in our lives, even non-sinful things, like for me, sports. It can be for making atonement for past sins. But the thing is, the plenary indulgence, we love it. It's beautiful. It's a gift the church has the authority to give, but it's not easy. So what do you do? There's one more way God gives us, fully endorsed by the church, called Divine Mercy Sunday. And on that day, Jesus says, the soul that has been to confession. Now, confession does not have to be on Divine Mercy Sunday. Many people go, that's great, that's fine. As long as you go before you receive Holy Communion, you can go on that day, but you can also go before Divine Mercy Sunday. St. Faustina went the Saturday before, okay? So you can go sometime before Divine Mercy Sunday as long as you are in a state of grace so that you're not aware of any grave matter, any mortal sin on your soul. As long as that's the case, then Jesus says, the soul that has been to confession and receives Holy Communion will receive not only the complete forgiveness of sins, but the remission of all temporal punishment ever incurred in your life, gone. So he promises the soul that's been to confession and receives Holy Communion will not only receive the complete forgiveness of sins, but the remission of all the temporal punishment due to sin.
Up to that moment, though. Up to that moment. Not looking forward, right?
Very good point. People ask that all the time. Yes, up until that moment. So I always tell people, once you get cleaned up, don't go playing back in the gutter again. Try to stay out of the mud puddles after you've been cleaned up. Because yes, if that's the case, then you got to wait till the next Divine Mercy Sunday to be purified and cleansed again. Your soul, Father Seraphim used to teach us, your soul will never be cleaner other than the moment of your original baptism. Wow. Than it is on Divine Mercy Sunday. And the reason is because it is like a second baptism. Now, it's not a second baptism. We do not get baptized twice. But it's like a second baptism because after we've been baptized, we all sin. And we have consequences to those sins, the temporal punishment from those sins. But Divine Mercy Sunday, just like baptism, wipes away not only the sin, but all the temporal punishment due to sin by simply going to confession and communion. All Jesus is doing is calling us back to the sacraments, and he is sweetening the pot of enticement because he wants us so bad to be spotless when he comes for us on the eighth day that he's willing to give us this gift unconditionally. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, the condition of confession and Holy Communion. Now, why is this greater than a plenary indulgence? Because the plenary indulgence also is forgiveness of sin and the remission of the temporal punishment due to sin. Why then is this greater? Two reasons. One is a temporal punishment that is we are talking about for a plenary indulgence is this. In a plenary indulgence, the remission of temporal punishment is only for sins confessed. So the sins you have confessed, you are wiped clean of the temporal punishment if you have no attachment to sin. Okay, that's a hard part. But it's only the remission of the temporal punishment due to sins already confessed. The extraordinary promise of Divine Mercy Sunday is the remission of the temporal punishment for each and every sin you have ever committed.
Mm.
Now, if somebody says, well, Father, I'm supposed to confess all my sins. No, you cannot possibly confess all your venial sins. You cannot. It's impossible. We sin, even the righteous man sins 70 times, seven times a day. It's impossible for you. And you don't have to confess all your venial sins. The church teaches you have to confess grave matter. That is what you are required to confess. So the temporal punishment due to sin in a plenary indulgence wipes away for all sins already confessed. Mm-hmm. But for the grace of Divine Mercy Sunday, you are forgiven of not only all the sins, but all the temporal punishment due to sin for all your sins. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is something nobody knows, but this is the teaching of the church. Mm-hmm. It's phenomenal.
Go first, Adam, because I got a question.
I just wanted to point out that, you know, one of the gifts the church gives us in the cycle of the liturgical year and these special days like this with these particular graces is we're ever renewed, and in each year our life can be renewed and we can get back on track. We can pick ourselves up from whatever is going on in the short term just by, you know, going to reconciliation. But these major, you know, times, kind of like you could think of them analogies for the Jubilees in the Old Testament, right? It's a time of forgiveness. It's a time to start over. It's just so beautiful how we could engage in this every year for the rest of our lives and make it part of the cycle of our lives and the rhythm of our lives.
I love
that. That's an excellent mm-hmm. point, mm-hmm. because that's the purpose of the liturgical year in the readings of the Gospels. It's also the purpose of the Jubilee year. And that is an excellent point, because Christ constantly wants us to be renewed. Absolutely. And there's no better way than to saying, you know what, how many of us have said sometime or another in our lives, if I could just wipe my slate clean, if I could just start over. I mean, I think back to all the dumb mistakes I made. And I'd like to say, you know what, if I could just go back to high school, I could start all over with a slate, a clean slate. Mm-hmm. This is what God allows us to do. And you know, if I may add, the second reason that this is greater than a plenary indulgence is just the fact of the conditions. Remember, for a plenary indulgence, confession, that's okay, that's easy. Communion, no problem. Pray for the intentions of the Holy Father. Okay. But that requirement to have no attachment to sin is not easy for most of us. I know I'm not. I'm working on that every day. And so I work hard at that, and I still struggle with it. And so this is something that's not required in the extraordinary promise. Mm-hmm. All that's required is confession and Holy Communion. So what that means is any snake can crawl out of the gutter and go to confession, receive Holy Communion, and get this entire grace this incredible grace. And for those of you who say, but Father, I can't go to confession, I'm bedridden, make an act of contrition. And for people say, Father, I can't receive Holy Communion, I'm homebound, make a spiritual act of communion. Just asking God to receive the grace that you wish to bestow in your soul, that he wishes to bestow in your soul. So the fact is that anybody can do this, confession, Holy Communion, or act of contrition and spiritual communion. It's a gift for everyone.
Right.
And so that's what makes it, in my opinion, even greater, is because most of us are not shot down mm-hmm. by the fact that we're struggling with sin. Now, it's not a magic wand. It's not a rabbit's foot. You do have to have a desire to change, a purpose of amendment, a rectification of the will. Mm-hmm. But if you have that and you go to Divine Mercy Sunday and you receive Holy Communion after having been to confession and you go back to your pew, you kneel down and you say a prayer, something like this in your own words, or you say, hey, Lord, remember that prayer Father Chris told us on GRN? Whatever that was, God, please give me that prayer. I can't remember it. Here it is. When you receive Holy Communion, go back to your pew, kneel down, and make a prayer like this. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, you promised Saint Faustina that the soul that has been to confession, I have, and the soul that has received Holy Communion, I just did, will receive the complete forgiveness of all sin and punishment. Lord Jesus, please give me this grace. Amen. And Jesus has to give you that grace or he is a liar. And nobody is going to claim that. And so take him up on his promise. Mm-hmm. He promises Amen. This fully approved by the church. Mm-hmm. And it's an incredible gift. Mm-hmm. Don't miss it. As we say, don't miss that boat.
So, Father Chris, we know our Spirit World listeners so well. You know, we should have aired this broadcast a couple weeks earlier to give our fine folks time to go to confession. It's airing the day before. Tomorrow is Divine Mercy Sunday. And so maybe some folks can still get to confession, but say they can't. Can they go afterwards?
Yes. If they are in a state of grace, then they can. They can receive Holy Communion. Now let's go the worst case scenario. You think you're in a state of grave sin. Therefore, you can't get to confession and you can't receive Holy Communion. What you do is go back, make that act of contrition. Father, what's the act of contrition? Oh my God, I am heartily sorry for having offended thee, and I detest all my sins because of your just punishments. But most of all, because they offend you, my Lord, who are all good and deserving of all my love, I firmly resolve with the help of your grace to sin no more, do my penance, and avoid the near occasion of sin. Amen. If you can't remember that, do the simple one that's actually in the rite of the church, the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a poor sinner. That is for your confession. Now, for your communion, make an act of spiritual communion.
Okay.
Where you just say, Lord, I cannot receive you sacramentally right now, but please come into my soul as if I did receive you sacramentally. I'm asking for this grace. Please give me this grace. Then you go to confession and communion at the next available time. So maybe it's next week. Maybe it's the week after Divine Mercy Sunday. But you simply go to confession and Holy Communion as soon as you are able, and you do that prayer to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus, you promise the soul that has been to confession, I have. The soul that receives Holy Communion, I just did, will receive the complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. Lord Jesus, please give me this grace. Amen. Jesus, I trust in you. And as I said, He's got to give you this grace, or he lied in a fully approved promise that he gave through St. Faustina.
So, Father Chris Alar, in the final few minutes, we have to leave room for a blessing. And then we just have to address this real quickly. We could spend a whole hour on this, but I know with your grandmother, it has touched your family with death by suicide. How does the mercy, God's abundant mercy, apply to those that have been touched by suicide in their families?
You know, this is a big misconception of the church. It's why I wrote the book called After Suicide, There's Hope for Them and for you who were left behind, because it is not church teaching, as many of us believe, that if you take your life, you automatically go to hell. Now, you may lose your soul, but here's what's important. The catechism says that the souls who take their own life may not always be fully in the right mind, and therefore not 100% culpable. Catechism 2282 says grave psychological disturbances, anxiety, depression, anguish, fear, suffering can diminish the responsibility of the one committing suicide. And the church prays for them. And that's because they may not be in the right mind and not have full freedom of the will. Remember, for sin to be mortal, you have to have knowledge and free will. I don't believe my grandmother had free will. She didn't want to take her life. She saw no other way out. She had a struggle in her mind, in her brain. And here's the big one. Catechism 2283, the very next one, says we should, and I've committed this one to memory, we should not despair of the eternal salvation of persons who have taken their own lives. By ways known to him alone, God can provide the opportunity for salutary repentance. The church prays for persons who have taken their own lives. And so the official teaching of the church is there is hope, and that's only because of the mercy of God. And if you want to supplement that, passage number 1698 in the Diary of St. Faustina, Jesus basically says most conversions happen when it looks like the person's already dead. Looks like there's no hope, but he says it's not so. My grace is working on the soul, giving them a chance to still turn back to me. Because remember, death is when the soul leaves the body. And even though vital signs may have stopped, we don't know exactly when the soul leaves the body. It could be 10 minutes later. And that's enough time for Jesus to work on the soul. Even a millisecond is enough time for Jesus to work on the soul.
Beautiful. Well, Father Chris Alar, you are incredible. We love you. Adam, final quick comments and then the blessing. And I can't wait to see Father Chris July 19th at the 25th anniversary of Guadalupe Radio Network in Plano, Texas. Please, guys, you got to reserve your spot. It's a free event and it's going to be so amazing. And I just think we're going to learn so much. Adam?
I just want to encourage the people, as we so often do, those that have fallen away from the faith. Maybe you haven't been to church in 20 years. You haven't been to confession. If you know somebody that's in that situation, share this broadcast with them in some way. Have them listen to Father and these encouraging words and take advantage of this opportunity. It is never too late to come back to God. He is always eagerly reaching for us, waiting for us, yearning for us. So please take this opportunity, get back on track. It'll be wonderful.
Beautiful. Father Chris Alar, thank you for being with us on The Spirit World. You're a very busy priest and you made time for us and we so appreciate it. Could you please give us a very powerful blessing?
Yes, and God bless all of you and the listeners, and may God's grace be abundant in this year that we need so much mercy. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you through the intercession of St. Faustina, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Wow, that was such a powerful broadcast, and we're so grateful to Father Chris Alar of the Marian Fathers. This is a Divine Mercy weekend, so folks, please take advantage of all the mercy and graces and blessings that are going to be bestowed to all of us by God himself. How amazing is that? Thank you to Tim Mott, our senior producer, for putting together this pre-recorded broadcast. Thank you to Guadalupe Radio Network for producing the show, EWTN, Global Catholic Radio Network, letting this broadcast go far and wide. We so appreciate it. Don't forget to like us on Facebook at The Spirit World podcast. And that'll do it, folks. For Adam Bly, I'm Debbie Georgiani. Until next Saturday, have a beautiful and blessed week. We'll see you real soon.